took all the ways that Southern Baptists have worked to reach people in other lands with the gospel, and you rolled all those into one person, you would have Roswell H. Graves. Really, he was kind of a missionary Renaissance man. The overarching goal of his life was to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he did that as a medical doctor, a church planter, an itinerant evangelist, a seminary professor, a writer, a publisher, and a supporter of numerous mercy ministries. Interesting guy. At the heart of his many accomplishments is the undersung virtue of perseverance. Graves has the distinction of being the longest-serving Southern Baptist missionary, 56 years. There were many times he could have quit and gone home, but he served until the very end of his life. He went to South China in the year 1856 when he was 23. He died there in 1912 at the age of 79. He was born into a wealthy and notable family in Baltimore, Maryland. His father was a medical doctor, his mother an ardent supporter of Christian missions around the world. He was also a very accomplished writer. As a teenager, Roswell came to faith in Jesus Christ through the ministry of Reverend Richard Fuller. Fuller was considered to be one of the best preachers of that era, a devoted promoter of the missionary movement among Baptists. Even after Graves' conversion, he was committed to following in his father's steps of being a physician. However, that changed in 1853 when the Southern Baptist Convention met in Baltimore. There he heard from missionaries like J. Lewis Shuck and T.J. Bowen, and they spoke about the needs of a lost world. And young Graves received their message as a direct appeal from the Lord for him to enter missionary service. He would continue his medical courses, but in 1856, he left America for China, and he began to preach the gospel in and around the city of Canton, now known as Guangzhou. Graves preached far and wide in South China. He held medical clinics everywhere he went. He regarded the healing of the sick as the most valuable entry point to telling people about Jesus. He said this, "We find medical work of special service in preparing the way for preaching of the word and the founding of new churches. In China, we find it especially useful in the opening new stations by overcoming the prejudices of people and showing the benevolent aspect of Christianity in a way that the simplest may understand." Graves realized that foreigners could never fully evangelize China. Chinese Christians would need to reach their own land with the gospel. So Graves spent much of his time training men for the ministry. Theological education was the ministry in which his profound intelligence and learning paid great dividends, and as he discipled scores of men to be evangelists and pastors. Graves said this, "Our commission is not only to disciple and baptize all nations, but also to teach them to observe all things that Christ has commanded. Building up the native brethren in the most holy faith is one of the most laborious as well as delightful branches of our missionary work." During his life, he experienced many setbacks, but he also saw the beginnings of a great spiritual awakening in South China. He wrote this, "God is causing springs to burst forth in the desert. The water of life is welling up in the howling wilderness." Little did Graves realize that his life would also have a profound spiritual impact on America. He wrote a letter to his mother in 1867, describing his ministry experiment in which Christian women would take the Bible from house to house, sharing the gospel with unbelieving females. This novel approach overcame the barrier that missionaries had faced for decades in trying to reach Chinese women who were largely secluded in their homes. Roswell's mother, Anne Graves, was so deeply moved by this letter that she immediately invited her friends to a meeting to learn more about this missionary strategy of women reaching women with the gospel. These meetings continued and slowly began to spread, eventually resulting in one of the most important explosions of missionary support in the history of our Southern Baptist Convention. Roswell's letter was the spark that set aflame the great fire of missionary support and zeal that would become the Women's Missionary Union, the WMU. Ann Baker Graves became known as the mother of that vital movement. Roswell Graves died in 1912. That is the same year as Lottie Moon. He witnessed China move through many transitions, yet China's overwhelming need for the gospel remained. During his 56 years of ministry in China, he preached countless sermons, planted numerous churches, trained hundreds of seminary students, and published many books. He treated thousands of patients in his missionary medical practice and saw hundreds of them embrace God's way of salvation by grace through faith in the finished work of Christ. Roswell Graves' life remarkably previewed the future scope of Southern Baptist missions around the world, utilizing many platforms, yet all with the single goal of making disciples of Jesus to the honor and to the praise of our great God and to the glory of his name. Roswell Graves, a man who was faithful to the missions. We could talk about other faithful missionaries. As I was studying this week and looking at all the different missionary stories, it was unbelievable to me some of the things that our missionaries not only endured, but how they were so faithful and persevered to the very end. Obviously, we know about Lottie Moon and how she was willing to give up basically all of her daily food so that the people of China where she served could eat, and how because of her basic starvation, she died on her way back to the Americas in 1912. We can talk about other missionaries like Sally Holmes, who not only lost a child on the mission field, but also lost her husband, but yet stayed as a single mother for 20 years on the mission field in China. What's interesting about Sally Holmes is she was basically a mentor to a young lady named Lottie Moon. We can talk about T.J. Cohen. I mentioned him in this particular story, who sparked the interest of Roswell Graves to go and be a missionary. T.J. Cohen was an interesting missionary, a very faithful missionary, going to many different places around the world, but he also struggled with sickness. In fact, he developed malaria so many times that he basically wrecked the end of his life because of all the pain and everything that he was going through because of the malaria. He actually turned to drinking at the end of his life to numb the pain. And he spent the last years of his life basically as a vagabond, traveling on trains here in America from one point to another. At the end of his life, he wrote a letter to his home church. And in that letter, he made mention of the fact that he realized what a waste of time it had been. And he hoped that God would be able to redeem that time for his glory. Faithful to the mission. Jeremiah is a perfect example of a prophet who went through both the joy and grief that comes from being totally committed to God. We look at missionaries and we in essence praise them for their faithfulness because they're committed to God's call on their lives. Jeremiah was very similar. Although he is not necessarily a missionary, he is a prophet. He was mocked and persecuted. He struggled with God and the seeming lack of attention on God's part in his life. But yet Jeremiah was a faithful man of God. But he was also a fallen human being who struggled with understanding God and what God had asked him to do. The book of Jeremiah, I don't have time to preach through the entire book of Jeremiah. I mean, it's like 40 chapters long. It would take us a couple years to go through the entire book. But what we find in the book of Jeremiah is not only his call, which we're going to look at this morning and this evening, but we also see him preaching God's message to a world that was not willing to listen. Struggling with that. Jeremiah was my kind of preacher. He was so hated for the messages that he preached, he was actually banned from the temple. Think about that. He was an outcast. He was looked down upon. He was mocked. He was persecuted. And that caused a lot of struggle in his life personally. In fact, a large portion of the book of Jeremiah, basically his recorded journal of him personally dealing with all these questions and asking God all the different questions that are going through his mind. And we see this very personal struggle of this prophet in the book of Jeremiah. if we're honest with ourselves. We all have times in our life in which everything seems to go wrong and we wonder what God is doing. We can make these periods in our lives more difficult because sometimes we realize that the difficult times can be caused by God's own people. We look around and we see behavior that makes us wonder why God allows such things. We start to wonder if God is really in control, or if he is, does he really care, since he doesn't seem to be doing anything at the moment. The book of Jeremiah can be a great encouragement to us in the tough times. Why? Because not only does Jeremiah preach judgment, but the book of Jeremiah also offers us hope. Hope because it shows us that we're not alone in our struggle. Hope because we can see how God has worked in the past and how we are benefiting from that now. Hope because we can see that God has been faithful and will continue to be so in the future. We can be faithful to the mission because we know that God, the God we serve, is a faithful God. So as we begin this morning, I entitled this message, Chosen for a Purpose, I believe. I've already skipped by that. But we're going to look at these first three verses of the book of Jeremiah. So if you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to the book of Jeremiah, and there we'll begin this morning. We can be faithful to the mission because we know that the God we serve is a faithful God. Jeremiah offers us a reminder of what it looks like to have a heart that is fully committed to God. So let's dig into these first three verses this morning. And here's what the scripture says. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, one of the priests who were at Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, and until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the captivity of Jerusalem in the 5th month. Can we pray together? God, I want to ask this morning, Lord, that you would come, that you would speak to our hearts today. God, that you would encourage us. Lord, that if we're going through times of difficulty in our life, that there is hope, that you are a faithful God, and that we can continue to be faithful to the mission. God, I pray that you would speak to us today, help us understand our unique calling that you have placed on our lives. God, that you would challenge us to be faithful to fulfill it. God, I pray for us as a church, as we look into these things personally, but God, there's also a very corporate application to this for us as the body of believers here. That we as the church in this place would be faithful to the mission that you have for us. So God, would you open our eyes this morning so that we can see you, so that we can hear from your word, that we can be challenged and convicted this morning. God, would you teach us today through your word? We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. So as you can see, the first three verses are just jam-packed with wonderful things to look at. I mean, it's not very often that we get to talk about three kings in three verses, but that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to talk about how God has prepared us, how God has prepared us. The historical facts here in the first three verses reveal how God prepared Jeremiah for his ministry in a very specific historical time frame. The truth is very simple. God has been at work in our lives to prepare us for our assignment in serving him. God has always been at work in your life. We see that in these verses with Jeremiah, he has been at work. He has prepared Jeremiah for this specific purpose. And what purpose is that? Well, that purpose we find in verse 5, where God tells Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." You see, just like Jeremiah, each one of us have a unique assignment. God prepares us with a unique assignment. That's the first point I want to make this morning. We each have a unique assignment. Notice here it says that that these are the words of Jeremiah. So the entire book of Jeremiah is basically Jeremiah's dictated words, okay, written down for us so we can look at today and glean all these wonderful truths from. It says in verse 2, to whom the word of the Lord came. And that's a way for us to understand that God is speaking to Jeremiah in a very specific way, that he has a very specific assignment. God called Jeremiah to be a prophet. Now, when we think of the word prophet, I don't know what comes to your mind. But usually it has something to do with foretelling the future. Jeremiah happens to be one of those prophets that really doesn't foretell the future as in years and years to come, but he really foretells what's happening in the moment and how God is trying to speak to his people. In other words, Jeremiah is basically a modern-day preacher. He is a proclaimer of God's revelation, and he is going to proclaim that message. So if you won't have a fun time this week, just sit down with your Bible, open it up to the book of Jeremiah, and begin to read. And you'll get to read all the wonderful things that Jeremiah preached about. God called him to be a prophet. Jeremiah's call was very specific. We just looked at that in verse 5. God appointed him, even before he was born, to be a prophet to the nations. We're not all called to be prophets. But I do say this, we all have a calling. Every single one of us has a calling on our lives. The Bible describes a call to salvation. Once we come to Christ, the Bible says that we are called to holiness. God has never called anyone to sit this one out. We are all to be holy because God is holy. There's a specific call to live a holy life, which means that we're called to do certain things. Husbands, you are called to lead your families, to be willing to die for your wife. Wives, you're called to respond to that kind of servant leadership of your husband and manage your homes well. If you're a kid here today, guess what? You're called to obey your parents. And all the parents say, amen, right? We're called to live in harmony with one another. We're called to be good citizens of our country as we wait for the true kingdom to come. God has a call on every single one of our lives. God has a task that he wants you to do. He has something for you. He has a unique assignment for you. We are all called. We're called to share our faith. We're called to speak up for justice. We're called to take care of the widow and the orphan. Church, we're supposed to be the ones calling out the called. At this moment, I want you to understand that you have a call on your life. You have a specific, unique assignment that God wants you to fulfill, and you cannot ignore it. So what assignment has God called you to do? Personally, what call has God placed on your life? We're not all called to be prophets. We're not all called to be preachers. We're not all called to be teachers, but I guarantee you that you're called to do something for God's kingdom. Church, we've also been called. When we think about our church as the body of believers that gather here at New Friendship Baptist, we need to understand that we have a calling on us as his church. What are we called to do? I'm glad you asked. We're called to cross barriers, whether they're internal spiritual barriers or external physical barriers, we're called to cross those to connect people to Christ. That is our mission, crossing all barriers to connect people to Christ. We have to embrace that as God's call on our church, that we are to reach out in our community, to go across the river or across the creek, to go across the ridge, to go across the road, to go across the oceans, to see people come to faith in Christ. That is our calling. That is our mission as a church. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, are we being faithful to the mission? Dear brother and sister in Christ, you have a unique assignment. And may I say this, New Friendship? We have a unique assignment, a specific call that God has placed on us. There's a reason why we are here this morning. There is a reason why this church is here on the bank of this creek. There's a reason why our address is 1344 Chatata Valley Road, Northeast, Cleveland, Tennessee. There is a reason why we are in this place, and the reason is so that we can connect our community to Christ, so that we can be a gospel witness to our neighbors who are lost and dying without hope. That is our mission, and that's why we exist. That is our unique assignment. Jeremiah was a prophet. What has God called you to do? Has he called you to be a teacher? Has he called you to be a skilled laborer, but one who sees the workplace as a mission field? Has he called you to be a preacher? Has he called you to be a deacon? Has he called you to be a godly husband or a godly mother? What has God called you to do? And are you being faithful to the mission? Not only do we each have a unique assignment, but we each also have a unique background. Notice Jeremiah here in verse 1 of chapter 1. It says that he is the son of Hilkiah, one of the priests who were at Anathoth. It's interesting when you look at the history of why the priests are there in Anathoth, and we find out that Abiathar, one of the priests, was sent there. Abiathar was one of the priests who wanted a different king on the throne instead of Solomon. And when Solomon ascended to the throne after David, his father, died, he sent Abiathar to Anathoth. And there he is, the priest of Anathoth. It's interesting that Jeremiah probably was a descendant of his. We know that he's the son of Hilkiah. So we know that Jeremiah could probably be a priest if he wanted to be. His early life as the son of a priest really prepared him for the assignment that he was going to have. I mean, think about it. He's in a small rural town, but that exposed him to some valuable lessons about nature. Jeremiah is one of the prophets who was good at using imagery in his messages to get across the point that God had for the people. Being reared in a priestly family, we know that he was taught the importance of the law of Moses. We know that more than likely he was instructed in that law. Living in the tribal area of Benjamin exposed him to the teachings of Amos and Hosea. So he would have known about the fall of the northern kingdom. The close proximity of his hometown to Jerusalem, it was about 5 miles from Jerusalem, kept him informed of everything that was going on in the world. He was aware of what was happening in his day. Can I say this? Maybe you've never thought about this before, but your background, your life experiences have also prepared you for your assignment. We all have a unique background. Have you thought about the path that you've traveled to get to this point? You're not here by accident. You're here for a purpose. And all the things that you've experienced has prepared you for the assignment that God has for you. Your background is not an accident. God has always had a plan for you, a plan for your good and not to harm you, as we find out in Jeremiah 29:11. What you may have seen as disappointment and failures in your life, God can redeem those things for your good and for his glory. I'm sure that Joseph was wondering as he was in the bottom of the pit, not knowing whether or not his brothers were going to kill him or not. I'm sure he was wondering about those dreams that he had had. I don't think that was the road that he chose, to be thrown into a pit by his brothers, to be sold into slavery, to be later imprisoned. That was not the path to greatness. Or at least he thought. But God knew exactly what he was doing. This morning, I want you to understand that your life experiences, the things that you've experienced in your past, whether they're disappointments, whether they're failures, are preparing you for what God has for you in the future. Don't let those things hold you back. See how God has used them in your life to fulfill the assignment, the call that he has on your life. You have a unique background, and trust me, God is shaping you for a unique assignment that only you can complete. The question is simply this. Are you going to be faithful to the mission? We each have a unique assignment. We each have a unique background, but we also each have a unique domain. Notice what it says here. In verse 2, it says that the word of the Lord came in the days of. In the days of. See, there's a time frame that's mentioned here. Jeremiah began his work as a prophet in the days of Josiah, the 13th year of his reign. And it continued all the way to the 11th year of the reign of Zedekiah, one of Josiah's son, who was then king of Judah. And that's when the children of Israel went into captivity in 586 B.C. A long work for this prophet. It's unique, though. Jeremiah was preaching during a very crucial part of Judah's history. He came to his role as a prophet when Josiah was the king of Judah. You might remember Josiah. Josiah came to be king at the tender age of 8 years old. It was during Josiah's reign that he rejected the false gods of the day, and they were restoring the temple. And in the temple, they uncovered the scrolls. They uncovered the scriptures. And during Josiah's reign, he worked hard to make reforms to bring the people back to God. So it seems like a strange time in a way for God to call Jeremiah to preach to the people of Judah, because the king is already making reforms. He's already calling the people back to God. Josiah was that good king who sought to bring them back to the proper worship of the Lord. However, Josiah's reforms, his efforts, failed to change the hearts of a nation. Jeremiah was there as a needed witness to the ongoing hard-heartedness of the people. After Josiah died, Jehoiakim came to the throne. He proved out not to be so good. He was a wicked king. In fact, it was his reign that put the proverbial nail in the coffin of Judah's doom. As with a lot of other kings in that day, Jehoiakim did what was evil in the Lord's sight. The last king that's mentioned here is Zedekiah. Zedekiah was basically a puppet. He was put on the throne by a Babylonian ruler, Nebuchadnezzar II. And as a result, his rule was a balancing act between keeping both those nobles in Judah happy and also the king of Babylon happy. Well, you can't serve two masters. So when he finally decides to go against Babylon, guess what happens? Babylon invades. They destroy Jerusalem. They sack Jerusalem. They destroy the temple. They take the people into captivity. They only leave a few people there in Jerusalem. Zedekiah, at times, showed an interest in listening to Jeremiah, but his convictions would waver when he faced other threats. These were the times that Jeremiah faced. A turbulent time. A time from leading reform and worship, bringing the people back to God as a nation, to a time where the nation is taken into captivity. And there's Jeremiah. There was a few righteous people. There were a few who sought to be faithful to God. But the majority of people were inclined to do what they pleased. Their hearts were hard toward God. And Jeremiah's words fell on deaf ears. His was not a very pleasant task. I guess you could say, in some ways, sounds a lot like the world we're living in right now. A lot of people who are hard-hearted towards God. I want you to understand, though, that God has put you in this time and in this place to complete your task. Why has God brought you to this place? Why now? Why this moment? Why this time? As good a question as it is for you personally, church, I think that's a great question for us. I think that's a great question for us as New Friendship Baptist Church. Why has God brought us to this time, to this place? Why are we here in this moment, 185 years after we came in to being? In April, we'll mark 185 years of being a church. That's a glorious history. One that proves God's faithfulness. But why are we here? What are we doing in this moment? What are we doing with what God has so graciously given us as a church? With all the wonderful heritage that has come before us. As we think about 2020, that, can you believe that? It's hard to imagine that it's the year 2020. And there's no doubt that a lot of people are thinking about vision. Because everybody wants 2020 vision, right? And you know the old saying that hindsight is 2020. Well, let's look ahead for 2020. Well, what has God got for us? What does God want us to do this year? Can I just let you in on a little secret? I believe that God has great things for us. I don't know about the other team members on the vision team. We've been working for 5 months, almost 6 months now. And I'm going to speak for them, and I hope I'm not putting words in their mouth, but there is some real excitement about what God can do at New Friendship Baptist Church. I hope that you can catch the excitement. I'm not one to get, you know, too fired up about things. But when we think about what God can do with just a faithful few, God can do immeasurably more than we could ever think or imagine. If we would just be faithful to the mission, if we would just be faithful to overcome the things that might be hindering us, to help us connect other people to Christ. If we could just be faithful to what God wants to do in us personally and through us corporately, if we could just be faithful in 2020, I believe that God is going to do something great. Well, what is something great, Pastor? I don't know. Use your imagination. What would be great? Would you like to see somebody come to faith in Christ every single time we meet for worship? Man, that would be great. Would you like to see the waters of the baptismal stir once again? That would be great. Would you like to see our neighbors look more like Jesus in 2020? Would you like to see us reach out into our community and actually bring gospel change to our community? That would be great. I mean, what's your dream? What's your vision? And how does your assignment, your unique assignment, your unique background, our unique time and place, how does that help us fulfill the mission that God has for us? Because you have a part in it. Jeremiah didn't understand exactly his part in the plan. In fact, we're going to learn tonight that he has some reservations about being a prophet. And some of you may be sitting here right now and you're thinking, I don't really have a part to play in that. Can I tell you, you're wrong. You absolutely have a part to play in what God does in us and through us as New Friendship Baptist Church. God has got something great for us. Will we be faithful? Will we be faithful? The truth is, you have a purpose. You've been chosen by God. Will you be faithful to the mission?